Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, 2 hours down, one more to go, an action-packed hour number three right here on the early line. We're going to talk some hockey, people, so get ready for some Pucks advice coming up shortly, and also the deadline coming up today at 3 p.m. We got you covered there, but it is a football Friday because it seems like every Friday it should be a football Friday, even though we are waiting next week, which next Sunday, not this Sunday, is going to be Selection Sunday, but this Sunday, daylight savings time. You're going to get an extra hour of your day, so make sure you rest up. And also, early Monday morning, the early line will be back here. Set your alarms. Make sure you're here on time for that. But talking about being on time, what's that time frame here for Saquon Barkley to find a new football team here, Davis Maddock? We asked the public here on the Sports Grid poll at Sports Grid TV, which team will Saquon Barkley play for next season? A lot of votes coming in, a lot of changing options, but it looks like the Texans here at 45.5% are leading the clubhouse. The other options as followed: the Philadelphia Eagles, the New York Giants, and other here. Now, if we take a look, I'm going to ask you this question, Davis, because this is probably like a decade ago. Chip Kelly, Philadelphia, will show those Dallas Cowboys. We'll steal their top running back in DeMarco Murray. It was a flat-out disaster. So if the Philadelphia Eagles go after Giants running back Saquon Barkley, will this also, Davis, be a disaster?
I mean, I don't think it's going to be a disaster because I don't think that Saquon Barkley is going to age the way that DeMarco Murray did, you know, basically completely overnight. Like, we've seen Saquon come back from injury. You remember Saquon really did his knee in 2020. He came back in 2021. He was all right. I mean, definitely his efficiency was diminished. Like, I think Barkley will be fine almost regardless of what team he signs with, because at the very least, I think he will be like a good pass catcher, third down back. Like, if maybe he's lost a step over the last 2 years or whatever, and you don't want to give him 18 carries a game. Well, like, that's the running back position. You don't have to. The only disaster would be paying him like a running back from 10 years ago. You know, like, let's say the Houston Texans, they have this money. We just talked about it. Like, okay, we'll give you 3 years, $45 million, which, you know, is so funny because, like, that sounds like nothing. That sounds like what Noah Brown is going to get in free agency or whatever. But for a running back, it's huge. That, I think, would probably be a disaster. No way that he pays that off. Now, we should go back and recount that DeMarco Murray season so people know what we're talking about. So in Dallas, he leads the NFL in rushing, attempts, yards, touchdown, yards per game, wins offensive player of the year. The next season for Philadelphia, he goes 193 carries, 42 yards per game, 6 rushing touchdowns, has his worst receiving season of his career. Buddy, it was brutal. And DeMarco Murray went to the University of Oklahoma, so I loved him. Yep. It was brutal to watch him for the Philadelphia Eagles.
I was in the stands the day, Davis. He took a handoff up the middle, cut left, and promptly took a knee instead of actually getting tackled. That was the final straw in Philadelphia for DeMarco. Good for him. Stole a lot of money from Chip Kelly, but I think it worked out better for the Philadelphia Eagles when they had, you know, Shady McCoy in the backfield as opposed to DeMarco Murray. But again, DeMarco Murray, the one-cut runner. Oh, we could get it all day. I could talk about those Chip Kelly teams ad nauseum here. But if we do take a look at the chances, the New York Giants, around 15% in this poll, Davis, is there a chance he goes back with the Giants? Because I've been saying to myself, I think Saquon Barkley is a very good running back, but doesn't make any sense whatsoever for him to be on the Giants, because I don't think it improves the team. I don't think it pushes them over the edge. But we know the Giants fans like him a lot. The ownership group and general manager, we love Saquon. We just want to make sure we're paying the right price. So I don't think Saquon Barkley is going to go back on like a one-year deal for like $8 million to the Giants. But are the Giants crazy enough to pay him, Davis, a long-term contract here.
I don't think they are. I think if they were going to pay him, it probably already would have come to pass. Now, there definitely is a good argument that the franchise tag is not you should not use the franchise tag on a running back because actually they get overpaid. It's a great example of that last year with Tony Pollard, like Tony Pollard getting paid, I think, $13.5 million on the franchise tag last year. Disaster for the Dallas Cowboys, and probably you're going to get a much better deal. Like, Saquon Barkley, I think if I was him, I would probably take 2 years, $16 million, which feels crazy, right? I mean, Saquon, like, this dude was the second overall pick. He's on commercials. You know, your mom might know who Saquon Barkley is. Like, it is, I do think it's totally unfair that running backs don't get paid. Like, it and it's just the nature of the game. It's the position is the position. But if I'm the decision maker for any of these teams, I'm probably not offering him what he wants, which it sucks, man, but it is what it is.
Davis, let me ask you this too, because next week, as we talk about, Monday is the tampering period that could begin. Wednesday is when you can sign your official contract with your new team or return back to your team. Do we have any, and even we can include Saquon Barkley and the other ones like Jacobs, do we have any of these running backs, do you believe, that will be signed on the dotted line with a new team by next Wednesday? Or is this a market we're going to have to sit back and wait until, like, you know, the defensive ends go, the linebackers go, the defensive tackles, and then teams figure out what money they have left over? Or does one team jump right away next week and grab one of these guys?
No, right? No way. I think it all kind of drags out. That to me seems like the most likely thing, because they're all battling against one another. If it was like just Derrick Henry's out there, just Saquon Barkley's out there, just Tony Pollard's out there, Joe Mixon probably is going to get cut by the Bengals or at least have to renegotiate a contract with them there. Even if it was just two or three of them. But because it's going to be all the agents battling against each other, and then the teams are going to come back and say, Derrick Henry, why would I pay you $13 million a year when I could pay Joe Mixon $6 million a year? You know, but I think whichever one signs first, weirdly enough, is going to get the best deal. So, like, if it comes out, you and I are doing the show and we get past the legal tampering period and Henry signs the first deal, I bet that's going to be the best one, and I bet every subsequent deal is going to be less and less friendly for the running backs. That's my guess.
A couple hundred votes in. The Texans here, the leaders in the clubhouse at 44.3%, followed by the Philadelphia Eagles at 23%, and the New York Giants at 14.6%. Now, we did leave an option listed as other. Got about 18% of the votes here. Davis, if we're not looking at, let's just say, the Eagles, Giants, and or the Texans, is there a spot that Saquon Barkley could land elsewhere that you say, you know what, it might make some sense if he goes there?
The Baltimore Ravens, I think he would make a huge positive impact on the Ravens. And that's a team that wants to run the ball a ton. I think he would really help them. The Dolphins have a clear opening at running back. You know, I don't think they want Devin Achane to get 20 touches a game. Yeah, there are a fair amount of teams, actually, I think, that could use his services.
Yeah, it should be fun to watch it play out. And again, the NFL never stops here. We're going to have some great college basketball this weekend that we're going to preview a little bit later in the show. But that Monday tampering period starts up. Wednesday you can sign. Away you go as we wait for the draft and free agency. A lot of great times in the NFL, so make sure you keep it right here on the Sports Grid Network. But it's time to talk some hockey here. Pete Jensen joins us next right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number three here in full effect on the Early Line. It's Donnie Wrightside. It's Davis Maddock. We are going to wait here in just a few moments to bring on Pete Jensen and talk some ice hockey with him, because I got a lot of stuff to go over, which includes the Philadelphia Flyers taking down the Florida Panthers. I mean, what's not to love about that? But until we do get Pete and get the okay there, just going to bring back in Davis Maddock for just one short segment here to go over what we thought about the running back position and the votes here coming in on Saquon Barkley. And by the way, Davis, let me ask you this quick question. Saquon Barkley to the Buffalo Bills, any chances that can fly here as we're looking for another team in New York here in that area?
I mean, yeah, look, it could definitely fly if the Buffalo Bills had any money, but the Buffalo Bills have No money. The Buffalo Bills are one of the most capped out teams in the entire NFL. They had to cut like basically every veteran that they had on their roster. So probably not to Buffalo. I mean, they wish, they definitely wish, but I don't think it's happening, Donnie.
Look, we could talk the NFL all day long, but big doings here in the NHL. So let's bring the man up here, Pete Jensen, NHL.com's finest here, covers the league and does it in style, which includes the trade deadline here coming down at 3 p.m. today. Pete, welcome to the show on this Friday morning.
What's going on, guys? Yeah, great time to be a hockey fan. Not a great time to be a Penguins fan, probably, because they just traded away Jake Guentzel, and that kind of signals the end of an era a bit. It sounds like Sidney Crosby was not particularly thrilled about that. So more to come on that. Pittsburgh looks like they're probably going to miss the playoffs for the second straight year, which is not something we're used to seeing here.
Oh, I love that. Pittsburgh missing the playoffs as a Flyers fan. Oh, no, that can't happen here. Guentzel on the move here. Sidney's not happy. That's music to my ears on a Friday morning. But there is big business left to go in the NHL by 3 p.m. today. But Pete, we've had a ton of moves already. Tell us about some of these moves that could be game changers for some of these teams moving forward here.
So what an awesome set of moves for the two teams that made the Eastern Conference final last year, right, guys? Carolina gets Jake Guentzel, one of the best even strength point producers in the NHL over the past five or six seasons combined. And on the other side, Florida, who beat them last year in the second to last round of the playoffs and ended up losing in the cup final to Vegas, they add Vladimir Tarasenko. They re-sign Gustav Forsling, who's one of the most underrated defensemen in the league. And maybe that sets up a rematch, right? And it's very little room for error in that series last year. All four games were decided by one goal. A couple of them were in overtime. There was that one crazy like four overtime game between the two teams, and a couple of new wrinkles on Carolina's end that could tip the scale. Freddie Anderson came back from the blood clotting issue yesterday, got the win. That's huge. Andre Svechnikov is healthy. That's even bigger from a goal scoring standpoint. And now factor in Jake Guentzel, that could certainly turn the tide.
All right. Well, my Colorado Avalanche did get busy. They did what someone might refer to as an old school trade, just a one for one. Bowen Byram out the door. They acquire Casey Mittelstadt. What was the motivation behind the move? What role do you think he will play? And do you think they will miss Byram at all, honestly, inside that defenseman rotation?
I think they will. I think they were probably not thrilled to have to trade away Byram, but just when you look big picture long term, of course, they have Cale Makar, who is the best defenseman in the NHL, in my opinion. And then you also have Devon Taves. So there's only so much money to go around. They still have Sam Girard. So I think that with Colorado, they needed to address the number two center hole, and they picked up a guy in Mittelstadt who was having a career year last year. And then this year, with all of Buffalo's injuries, was leading them in so many different categories, from even strength points to points outright and plus minus and stuff like that. And then, of course, he was also contributing in the assist category, leading them in that group as well. So, yeah, Buffalo, I think, is building for the future. And look at what they have in terms of left shooting defensemen for the years to come. It's pretty crazy with Rasmus Dahlin being 23, Byram 22 as a former Stanley Cup champion, and Owen Power, don't forget about him, at 21 years old. So they're building in the right direction with this move for sure.
Talking with NHL.com's Pete Jensen here, going over the ice last night. Big upset down there in South Florida. The Philadelphia Flyers 2, the Panthers 1. A late goal scoring effort there by Garnett Hathaway puts the Flyers over the top. And by the way, a couple wins this year for the Flyers over the best team in the NHL record-wise with the Panthers. But moving forward on the Panthers and what to look forward to, adding extra firepower, and away they go. The President's Trophy, plus 140 price at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Eastern Conference price, 3-1 here. Stanley Cup price, 7-1. Give us an outlook here on the Florida Panthers moving forward here, Pete.
I mean, they've been like the two most consistent teams in the NHL over the past 2 or 3 months have been the Florida Panthers and the Winnipeg Jets. Whether you want to take those teams extremely seriously come postseason, I like Florida a little bit more than I like Winnipeg, just because Winnipeg has to go through that gauntlet of probably playing either Dallas or Colorado in the first round and then the other team in the second round. So that's going to be really tough on Winnipeg. But Florida getting to the Cup final last year. I feel like this group is even stronger than they were last year, and certainly healthier with them dealing with the early season injuries to guys like Montour. He's clicking in high gear right now. Ekblad is back as well. So this team adding Tarasenko, having Sam Bennett healthy, Florida kind of like caught lightning in a bottle last year, but this year they're just much stronger all regular season long, and Bobrovsky has been one of the best goalies in the league as well. So I think any of those different angles surrounding the Florida Panthers are certainly worth pursuing.
And it sounds like Vladimir Tarasenko kind of knew that, and he said it was the only team that he would have waived his no trade clause for. Obviously, a little bit of a whirlwind for him as he left St. Louis that he was in for a long time, moves to Ottawa, and then ends up moving again after just a short period with the New York Rangers. So that man wants to win himself a Stanley Cup. Now let's take a look over at the Western Conference. The Oilers and the Avalanche are clear. We have the Dallas Stars and the Winnipeg Jets, Vegas Golden Knights after them. What do we make of these odds in the Western Conference? Do you think the board looks mostly right? Is one of these numbers wrong? Do you have a wager for us here?
It looks pretty good to me. I think that Dallas adding Chris Tanev, like we touched on, I think the previous show, is big for their Stanley Cup futures appeal. I would still say Colorado, even after having to trade away Byram, is a slight. I mean, Colorado has been, I think, only like 9 or 10 of their games this year have been. 9 or 10 of their wins, I should say, almost all of their wins this year have come on the puck line. It's crazy, something like that. So they're still extremely dangerous. My preseason pick, I feel pretty good about it, was Edmonton over the Carolina Hurricanes. So that's certainly possible. That's looking pretty good right now. But a lot of teams in the mix. Adam Henrique, nice pickup by the Oilers. That's probably the best landing spot for him. He's been a dynamic playoff performer in the past with the New Jersey Devils, and he might really heat up down the stretch with exposure to McDavid, Drysdale, Evander Kane, Nugent Hopkins, Zach Hyman, by the way. Don't forget about him, 40-goal scorer Zach Hyman. So Edmonton is locked and loaded here.
Parity is awesome here in the NHL this year, particularly with the odds market at the FanDuel Sportsbook. To win the Stanley Cup, you have the Panthers at a 7-1 price, co-favorites with the Edmonton Oilers at 7-1, the Avalanche at 8-1, the Hurricanes at 9-1, Stars and also Golden Knights at 10-1. If we're looking right now, that sprint for the end of the regular season, are we still looking at some of the favorites up top? So the other teams here that you think can creep into this for us, Pete?
Well, I do think Winnipeg is still a dark horse. We see that all the time through the years where, you know, there's an unbelievable first round matchup and someone has to lose, that sort of thing. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Winnipeg could unseat either Colorado or Dallas. You know, certainly with the Edmonton Oilers and the Hurricanes, I like those teams. The Hurricanes have such a high floor. They had all those guys injured last year, including Svechnikov, and they still made the Eastern Conference final. The Rod Brind'Amour system, best possession team in the league, that is something I would lean on with Carolina now that they have all these guys back with Freddie and Svechnikov and Gensel.
Pete Jensen bringing the heat on the NHL ice. Thanks for joining us this morning on the Early Line. College basketball is next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into the Early Line here on Sports Grid. Davis Maddock and Donnie Wrightside with you. We are trying to get you on the right side of all of these college basketball games this weekend. We got a huge weekend in college basketball, a ton of notable games. We have got conference tournaments for any of your favorite directional conferences, West Coast, Missouri Valley. You know, we got colleges that sound completely made up. We got Quinnipiac in action this weekend. We've got Colgate. You know, really, any kind of college basketball you want, good college basketball, bad college basketball, mediocre college basketball, it's going on everywhere across the country over the next 3 weeks. And Donnie, we are going to begin with these notable weekend games. We got Kansas versus number one Houston here. A win here for the Jayhawks, man, would be pretty big for kind of morale purposes, honestly, for seeding purposes, you know, to maybe get a chance of being a 2 seed there in March Madness. Do you have an early lean on this one?
Yeah, you're taking a look at these teams, you know, matching up down the stretch in the Big 12, which is a conference that I love. You take a look at Houston, who is the number one overall team in the country, and quite frankly, here in the Big 12, a one-game lead over Iowa State. So if you do the math on that, they've already guaranteed themselves at least a conference share of the title here. They can be the outright winners, and they would love to beat Kansas. Why? Because payback here. Kansas beat Houston early in the season up at the Fog. So if we're taking a look at this game coming in, it means a lot here. And also, if you're fighting down the stretch as one of these top line seeds, right? There's four number one seeds that are going to be given out. You want to be the top overall seed, not just because it's, hey, I could tell my grandkids about that. You want the easiest path technically to try to get to the Final Four. And that's what happens when you have the number one overall seed. So this game could go a long way, because let's just say Houston runs the table here, wins this basketball game, and picks up a quad one victory over Kansas, then goes into Big 12 conference play, runs the title here. That might be enough to outseat here Purdue, regardless of what Purdue does down the stretch overall. But if we're being honest with ourselves, this game's going to come down here to offensive efficiency and who is going to have it. Kansas is tremendous here at not turning the basketball over. What do we love about Houston? They love turning teams over on the defensive end. So if you can limit the damage here, maybe you can have a shot. But here's the interesting part. You take a look at a 14-team conference, and what does Houston do against the three-point number? You take a look here, 11th in conference play at chasing you off of the three-point line, which isn't very good. The only problem is, I just told you, Davis, it's only 14 teams in the Big 12. You know who's the least amount shooting three-point shots here? That's the Kansas Jayhawks here. So you're going to have to do damage against Houston in the paint, and just so happens that Houston is number one in conference play at only allowing 46.6% inside of the arc here. Tough scoring on Houston here. Houston is at home. I look for Houston to say, you know what? It's our first year in the Big 12. We are the big dogs on campus now. We're going to win this conference outright. They'll probably be able to handle Kansas in a revenge scenario for me, Davis.
All right. Well, speaking of revenge scenarios, we have probably, I mean, this is the number one college basketball rivalry, right? North Carolina versus Duke. Number 7, North Carolina against number 9, Duke. Love when both of these two teams are in the top 10 and they square off against one another. What are we looking at here on Tobacco Road?
I mean, big stakes as always, right? You're taking a look at, which I do think going back for decades now, the best rivalry in any conference out there. It's North Carolina and it's Duke. It used to be we had a lot more firepower from the coaching position, right? It was Roy Williams. It was Dean Smith. It was always Coach K. And you had that animosity in the building with great teams on both sides here. You still have pretty good teams here. And the reason I don't say great teams, even though they are ranked high, is I just don't put a lot of weight this year, Davis, in the ACC overall. But if we're taking a look, yes, you have an advantage at being home if you're Duke. And also keep in mind, a lot on the line here as well. We just talked about Houston. You want to be the conference champions. You want to wear that ring yourself. If you're North Carolina, go in and beat Duke. That's an outright regular season ACC championship crown. But if you are the Duke Blue Devils, you want a piece of that conference crown. You win that game in Cameron Indoor on Saturday. You claim a piece of the regular season ACC championship. It's going to come down to offense and defense. And that's Duke's offense, number one in ACC play and efficiency, versus UNC's defense, which is number one in ACC play in efficiency there. Both of these teams, incredible rebounding teams. On offense, Duke, they hit the glass better than anybody here, Davis, in ACC play. But the problem is UNC's defense, the best rebounding defense in ACC play. Sometimes you just have to take a look and say, even though it's a home game for Duke, and it does mean a lot, obviously, for both of these teams, but if I'm UNC's defense, I'm number one at defending the three-point line and number one defending in the paint here, I think UNC might be just a little bit too much for the Duke Blue Devils in this rivalry game at Cameron this weekend at Durham.
All right. Well, I'm going to ride with you on that one. A surprising season here for Kentucky. They are at Rick Barnes's number 4 Tennessee. We actually talked about Tennessee a bunch on the program yesterday. Donnie, probably no team has cost me more money in my, not star-studded college basketball wagering career. I am intrigued by this Kentucky team. I much prefer when Kentucky is kind of the scrappy upstart that is not, you know, considered a title favorite. They are traveling to play at Tennessee. What are you hoping to find out from this matchup?
Yeah, by the way, Dalton Connect, you saw him in the last game when they were playing at South Carolina, waving it around and pointing to his ring finger. Why? Because they won the SEC regular season championship. Now, granted, you're playing for much more at this point, and you have a ranked opponent coming in to your own building in Kentucky. This is a great rivalry. Both of these teams will be fired up, and it's not like in the NFL, right, Davis, where it's like, okay, it's, you know, week 18. We've already completed what we needed to do. We're going to rest our guys before we get into the SEC tournament. It's not going to happen. Why? Because you're playing for seed line now. If you are Tennessee and you want a very competitive SEC regular season championship, you know what you want to do? Stack another quad one victory up and then head off into the SEC tournament here, possibly win that. And maybe you are finding yourself on that one line as maybe a projected two seed, which is where they probably are right now. But Kentucky's been a very good basketball team down the stretch. The one thing we always worried about Coach Cal and his one and done type program here is how are these young kids going to mature through the season? So by the time they get to March Madness, we're going to be an effective team and basically playing like veterans here. And quite frankly, the freshmen no longer are freshmen here, playing over 30 games. But if you're taking a look at Tennessee, which is number one overall in defense in the SEC, they could probably give that Kentucky offense a lot of problems. Here's what it's going to come down to for me, and so many times it's three-point shooting. If you take a look at Kentucky, number one in SEC play from behind the three-point line, shooting close to 41% as a team. Tennessee does defend it well, but however, if we're taking a look at the SEC, 13th in SEC play at chasing you off the three-point line, which means if Kentucky can shoot from volume from three-point range and be average, which means 40%, they should be able to hang around with Tennessee. I like Kentucky moving forward. Tennessee's a great team. Give me the Wildcats here on the road here. Let's see what happens.
All right, taking Coach Cal's Wildcats on the road. We are going to move back to the Midwest. We've got number 10, Creighton against Villanova, I guess. Maybe Villanova. We'll argue about if they're Midwest or not. Maybe that's for next week on. The number 10, Creighton at Villanova. The Blue Jays here, what are we hoping to see from them? Is this a big one for them?
Yeah, by the way, maybe qualifying here for the Midwest, because technically they're outside the Philadelphia city limits here. So once you get outside of Philadelphia, everybody knows it's the Midwest from here on out until you get to maybe Denver, Colorado. But if you are Villanova, you let a big moment slip away. And I actually lost money on this game as well, which technically I couldn't bet here, but I gave out to the people. So I'm sure they're upset with that one. Seton Hall knocked off Villanova at home just a few days previous. This was one of those situations, Davis, which you're coming down the stretch for Villanova. They were playing good basketball, and it probably was, okay, if you get that victory against Seton Hall on the road, you're probably in the tournament there with an at-large bid. They lost that game. So now they have a chance to make it up against Creighton. It feels like it's hard to weigh the situation because we don't see this much in college basketball. Last game of the season, Wells Fargo Center, which the DuPont Pavilion where they play out on campus here. This is going to move to the Wells Fargo, which is technically their B home court. It'll be a sellout crowd. They'll be anticipated. They'll be excited here. But this feels like it's a moment that Villanova absolutely must have. But how much do you rely on that when you're trying to take a team in Villanova that has handled their business against the lower level teams in a very competitive Big East market? But that loss to Seton Hall certainly was alarming. If they lose to Creighton, let's just say, Davis, head into Big East play up in the Garden and lose early, I don't think they're going to make it into the tournament. Any one of these bracketology things that you're looking at here, Villanova really needs to win this basketball game. But I don't know if I can just bet things like, Davis, hey, they need to win, so they're going to win. It's a Philadelphia City team technically here, but I think Creighton might be able to give Villanova the goods here. I really do.
All right, there we go. Let's wrap it up here with a non-Midwest Big 12 matchup. We got number 11 Baylor at Texas Tech. I actually watched Baylor play against Kansas last Saturday. I was pretty impressed. I was pretty impressed by the ball that they were able to play. Baylor at Texas Tech. Is this an easy one? Do they need this one? What do you make of this one?
Not an easy one here for Baylor, certainly, because, again, it's hard to win on the Big 12. But one of those teams, Baylor, I've been keeping an eye on here over the past 2 weeks, Davis. And also, so has the odds book here for the FanDuel Sportsbook. Why? Because they were 40-1 roughly a week ago, now dropping to 30-1. Every victory might drop them lower and lower, because this is a team that you certainly have to watch out for. If you look at their defense, it's not all that efficient here, right? They'll let you shoot the three-point shot, which, again, Texas Tech loves to do. So that could be an advantage if you're looking from an underdog perspective in Texas Tech. But if you are Baylor, number one overall here in conference play in efficiency, and the one thing that you have to love, they get to the free throw line. It's very rare here, Davis. Let's take a look at a team like BYU. going to rain from three-point land, which means they're not driving to the basket and they're not getting fouled. This is a team that loves to shoot the three-point shot and does it quite well in Baylor, but also number one in conference play, getting to the free throw line. Now, the interesting part is Texas Tech doesn't foul all that much. Second in conference play here at not sending you to the free throw line. But I'm a Baylor Bear type guy. Sick 'em right now. They won me money last weekend when they handled Kansas over the weekend. I think on this Saturday, they once again also handle Texas Tech here at the United Supermarkets Arena. Give me those Baylor Bears.
All right, there we go. We are taking the Baylor Bears in the Big 12. Donnie and I are going to go ahead and run into break here real quick on the show. We've got some NBA hardwood handicaps coming up for you. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. See you in a few moments.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Who's not loving hour number three right here on the early line? Get those dancing shoes on. We're ready. We got you primed and ready to go. Just went over a couple or a handful of games, I should say, for this Saturday, which are unbelievable, which may have some implications on which seed lines some of these majors get. But also keep in mind what we've been doing all week long right here on the network is getting you set for the tournaments that are about to begin and also now some tournaments that are about to end. We're taking a look at tournaments that tip off here. The America East this weekend with Vermont as the favorite at a minus 280 price. The Big Sky with Eastern Washington as the favorite at plus 175. And the Southland Conference, which currently right now is still off of the board. If we're looking at punching tickets and going to March Madness with celebrations, Saturday, the Ohio Valley Conference, the OVC, is going to crown their champion. And Sunday, the A-Sun, Big South, and Missouri Valley Conference also crowning their champions here. Those will be automatic bids heading into March Madness. But if we are setting up March Madness, it does feel like there's a little March Madness here going on in the month of March for the NBA. Let's go out west. Let's have some fun with this one. It's the Milwaukee Bucks and Doc Rivers going into Crypto.com Arena here, Davis, to take on those Los Angeles Lakers. And since we've been talking about this game, we took a look at it earlier. It was a one-point spread. It's now going up to 2 in other outlets here, also reporting back at 2.5. So my thoughts behind this, maybe we're getting some information possibly on LeBron James and that creaky ankle that he might not be able to go. A total in this game listed now at 231.5. Davis, is it the Bucks tonight? Is it the Lakers? What are we looking for?
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a weird one because if LeBron was not playing, I mean, this would swing massively. This would be like Bucks by like 7 or 8, maybe, because not only do you not have LeBron, but you're like, okay, well, who's going to play instead of LeBron? And then you start to have to really go down the list of guys who are on the 2024 Los Angeles Lakers. I guess it would probably be, I mean, oh man, I literally don't even know who would sub in at that point, because Torian Prince has been starting. I guess probably maybe Cam Reddish would not be a DNP CD anymore. But then you've got the other dueling thing, Donnie, which is that Giannis is listed as questionable, but we've already had one instance of Giannis being listed as probable, then questionable, then doubtful, then not playing. We've also had him probable, questionable, then playing. So clearly he's got something going on with this Achilles injury right now. Assuming health, though, from either team, I mean, the Bucks should take care of business here pretty handily. Like this Lakers team is I mean, it's just not that good of a match. Like, it's a good matchup for the Bucks, and the Bucks are a bad matchup for the Lakers.
I would coin the term every other game Dame for Damian Lillard, who shows up and then the next night usually doesn't show up. If we take a look, it's a pretty healthy total. It actually opened up at 236.5, now dropped to 231.5. Again, maybe anticipation of a couple big players out in this one. If there's a prop perspective between these two ball clubs, like let's just say Giannis does play, but he's not all the way back yet. LeBron James does sit out. Is there a guy maybe on either team that you might be targeting tonight and say, you know what, if LeBron's out, that means extra shots for this player, or even does Damian Lillard get going at Crypto.com Arena tonight?
Oh, it'd definitely be Austin Reeves. I'm not much of a D'Angelo Russell guy. It would definitely be Reeves. I mean, and actually Rui Hachimura too as well, because Rui would probably get to play more power forward in this game. He'd get to get a little bit closer to the basket. I think those would be the two guys I would really dial in on. And actually, an Anthony Davis, D'Angelo Russell, Austin Reeves, Rui, Torian Prince lineup is like not the worst. That's not the worst lineup that the Lakers have ever run out. You know, there was a time when Wenyen Gabriel was starting at center for a Los Angeles Lakers team that wanted to win a championship. So we definitely have seen worse from the LeBron James Lakers. But yeah, it would be like Rui over like 13.5 points would be good. Maybe Reeves over 2.5 three-pointers made, I think, would also be pretty strong if LeBron were not able to play in this game.
But yeah, Wenyen Gabriel, well, I think it was a former Kentucky Wildcat there, bringing back memories back for some of those Los Angeles Lakers rosters here. I'll tell you what's in question tonight, some of the rosters of this next game. That's the Minnesota Timberwolves here taking on the Cleveland Cavaliers. If we're looking at the line, opened up at the FanDuel Sportsbook at a -1 price here for the favorite home team here, Cleveland Cavaliers, it still sits at that -1. And look at this total, folks, 207.5 tonight. Now, Minnesota had a nice win last night. It is a back-to-back. Who's going to show up in that lineup, but more particularly for the Cleveland Cavaliers, so injured here, who shows up there? Do we believe that the Cleveland Cavaliers, Davis, should be a favorite tonight lining up against those Timberwolves?
I mean, I think they probably should be a favorite just because they're not the team that's on the second night of a back-to-back. Like, I guess that really is the big differentiator there. Also, Anthony Edwards, he did gut that game out yesterday, Donnie, but he rolled over on his ankle in the first quarter of that game. Sometimes you can get by on adrenaline, and if you don't take your shoe off, the ankle doesn't, I mean, look, we've all been there. You don't take your shoe off right when you hurt your ankle. You keep it in if you're playing hoops or soccer or whatever, and then you deal with the hurt ankle later. There's definitely a chance that Anthony Edwards wakes up this morning, looks at his ankle and says, sorry, guys, it's time for Nikhil Alexander-Walker to try and take 27 shots tonight. And weirdly, you know, the Cavaliers are such a weird team where they've actually played better when one of their best players has been out, whether it be Garland, whether it be Mitchell, whether it be Mobley, whether it be Allen, because the starting lineup doesn't make a ton of sense. Garland and Mitchell are very duplicative of each other's abilities. And obviously Jared Allen and Evan Mobley just want to stand on top of each other. Basically, they want to be in the same place on the court. Now, they're definitely better with Mitchell in there, but Kind of like the Hawks without Trae Young, the team just sort of makes more cognitive sense. I'd probably take the Cavs tonight.
Yeah, it's interesting, too. You usually get that bump, like game one back. The other team doesn't necessarily know how you're going to play. Now it's on a back-to-back here. If the Timberwolves go into Cleveland here and win that basketball game, it'd be certainly impressive. But again, the line isn't running away anywhere. It's a -1 slight favorite here for the Cavaliers. We'll wait to see a little bit later in the day to see what those final starting lineups will be. The final starting lineup in Philadelphia, it ain't going to look too good once again tonight. Rotation number 563, 564, that's the Pelicans and the Philadelphia 76ers. Now the Sixers are home. The FanDuel Sportsbook opened this line at a -3.5-point price for the New Orleans Pelicans. That has now ballooned up to 7.5 and a total that opened up at 226, now down to 221.5. The reason being is obviously we know we're not getting back Joel Embiid in this game, and also Tyrese Maxey missing the past few games here with a concussion. Doesn't look like he's going to be back on the court again tonight. They, talking about the Sixers, had a lead against a very bad Memphis Grizzlies team on their home court, blew that basketball game. The Pelicans come into town. Is this going to be an easy walk-away winner for those Pels here, Davis?
I mean, these lineups that the 76ers are having to play right now, it's like something out of an Orlando Magic tanking season in 2015. The team that they started against the Grizzlies, Tobias Harris, Buddy Hield, Nick Batum, Cameron Payne, Paul Reed, first guy off the bench, Kelly Oubre. I'll give anyone listening to this $10 right now if they can name the seventh guy who came off the bench. Jeff Doughton from St. John's College in Washington. You know, God bless you, Jeff Doughton. Come on. It's too much. You cannot be an NBA team missing your starting point guard, your backup point guard, and the best player on your team by a million miles. Like, it's just too much to overcome. Maybe, I don't know, maybe they cover whatever, but I am not in the business of, you see this a lot in college basketball too, of like the number being too big. Number being too big in football is for sure a thing, but like the way basketball goes, like what's the difference between 9 points and 14 points? It's just how hard you try in the 5 minutes at the end when the game is over. And I don't know how hard Jeff Doughton is trying when this game is over.
Yeah, the Philadelphia 76ers here, Davis, we're locked in and saying, hey, we might make a run at that 2, 3, or 4 seed. And Embiid goes out. Now you're looking at the play-in rounds here, which could be devastating. But we're waiting for Joel Embiid to come back and certainly, hopefully, Maxey back sooner than later with that concussion. Let's move it to OKC tonight as the Miami Heat come to town, opening up this line. Heavy favorite here for OKC at -8. We've now seen that up to -8.5 at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Other outlets even reporting as high as 9 right now. A total of 226.5 that has dropped slightly since the opening number down to 224. This looks like we're setting up for a runaway performance tonight for those Thunder, Davis.
Yeah, but I'm not betting on them. One of my big principles in life is to not bet against the Miami Heat and not bet against Eric Spoelstra, because probably nothing in betting on pro hoops has cost me more than being like, oh, surely the Miami Heat without Jimmy Butler and without Bam Adebayo and without Tyler Herro and without Caleb Martin, like they just asked the janitor if he could put in some minutes as the backup shooting guard. They called up 3 guys from the G League and then they end up winning. I mean, the Zombie Heat already have 2 of the bigger wins of the entire season. Like you just do not bet against this team. And now they have Jimmy Butler back. I mean, they're 35-27. Obviously the Thunder, my team, they're great. They're kind of a styles makes fights matchup because they play so fast. They play with so much space. They want to get up and down the court. They want to shoot threes. The Heat don't want to do any of those things. And the Heat are just a much larger team than the Oklahoma City Thunder. I bet they could have like a 35% offensive rebound rate tonight. I would not bet on the Thunder tonight.
I'll tell you one game that's not going to be a lot of fun if you're an over backer and you want some tempo and you want some fluid scoring out here. It's a garden party tonight. Yeah, we'll see. It's the Orlando Magic and it's the New York Knicks. The Knicks actually opened at the FanDuel Sportsbook here, Davis, as a -1.5 point favorite. That has now swung to the Orlando Magic as a -1.5 point favorite. A total that opened up at 211 at FanDuel. We're down to 206.5. That is rarefied air tonight for the Knicks at home in the Garden against a team that loves to cover spreads here. But in order to cover the spread, they're going to have to win this basketball game. Who are we trusting tonight, the Magic or the Knicks in the Garden?
I mean, what I'll tell you is that my theory with how weird NBA totals have gotten this year, you know, you got Pacers totals sitting there. It's like 253 on a random Thursday night for the Pacers. When they get this low, Donnie, I'm taking over. And I know like the New York Knickerbockers right now, they cannot make a basket. It's actually insane how bad the offense is. But partly it's because Dante DiVincenzo, since Jalen Brunson has gotten injured, has just not made a 3-pointer. The other night, DiVincenzo went 5 for 17 from 3-point range. But weirdly, they actually take more 3-pointers when Jalen Brunson is not on the court. I think it's because Brunson doesn't take a ton of threes and McBride does. So I actually think you feel pretty good about an over here. If Hart and if McBride and DiVincenzo can just make like 38% of the threes they take tonight, I think you're coasting on the over here, honestly.
Yeah, DiVincenzo's a crazy look here, too, because you wouldn't think of it, but he absolutely fires away from three-point range. You say, why does he shoot so much? Who else is going to shoot for that Knicks lineup here without their starters out in the lineup? So he is going to get the bulk of the effort here. Let me ask you one quick question here in this segment. Charlotte Hornets, Washington Wizards. The Wizards are a favorite at home against Charlotte, but if they have their eyes on the prize, Detroit's winning basketball games. The worst team in the NBA now is the Wizards. They're favorite tonight. How can they be favored? I don't care if it's the Hornets here. Who are we taking in this one, Davis?
Woo. I mean, honestly, I guess you just take the other team, right? If the Wizards are ever favored, you just take the other team just on straight up principle. Like that just has to be the logic. Never take the worst team in the NBA as a favorite. There's some good gambling advice for you.
It's unbelievable. We'll see how that one plays out, but the Wizards are expected to win even though when they don't want to win because they're finally the worst team in the NBA, which gives them the best percentages here to get that top ping pong ball to come out in their favor. One final segment for the week in the early line. That's they're next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's get down to the business, people. What business is that? Trying to get some winners here. Now, Davis gave you a winner last night with the Denver Nuggets. Your boy DRS gave you a loser in that same game with the Boston Celtics. So as we're trying to line up today on the final segment of the week right here on the early line, we need to give out some winners. At least I need to give out a winner. Now, last week on a Friday, I bet a game that took place on a Saturday, which was Baylor knocking over Kansas. Now, we don't have the spreads out on a Friday for Saturday games, but I'm going to tell you right now, Creighton versus Philadelphia at the Wells Fargo Center this weekend, I'm going with Creighton. Why? They love to shoot the three-point shot. Villanova will let you shoot the three-point shot. Conversely, on the opposite side, Villanova loves to shoot the three-point shot, but Creighton loves to chase you off of the three-point line. For me, my best bet tomorrow, the Creighton Blue Jays come into Philadelphia and come away with the victory, putting Villanova's season in peril. Davis, where are we going for you here?
Very simple one for me tonight. We are going to be taking the Atlanta Hawks -3 points on the road against the Memphis Grizzlies. Pretty simple one here. First being the Grizzlies absolutely stink. I mean, sure, they beat the G League 76ers. They did beat the Nets the other night. Anytime this team plays anyone serious, they get rolled. In fact, they just had a 30-point loss to your Portland Trailblazers, Donnie. Atlanta Hawks -3, Deontay Murray, tall lineup, big deal. No, I don't care. Deontay Murray is going for 30 tonight. Hawks -3.
There you go. Got you covered here. A little college basketball action tomorrow. We had a lot of subjects on this show today. The NBA, college, pro football, everything was handled according, and a fantastic week overall here on the early line. So I'm going to remind the people out there once again. When you wake up on Sunday morning, it's mostly digital now. By the way, I date myself sometimes in my 40s. Why? Because we used to have to, like, change every single clock. We'd have cell phones back in the day that let you know and automatically adjust it here. But I still get upset when sometimes I get in my car or look at the stove and then the time is wrong. Set it. Forget it. Don't worry about it. Wake up Sunday. Enjoy it. Extra days are on the way, as I like to say, with the sunlight being out a little bit longer. Get your dancing shoes on, people. For Davis Maddock and Donnie Wrightside, thanks for tuning in today's episode of The Early Live. We'll be back on Monday. Enjoy your weekend.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.